Hello, and welcome to the Transcending CRM podcast, a show where we explore how the Salesforce ecosystem has impacted the careers of fellow trailblazers and the businesses that have leveraged dynamic growth from the platform. This podcast is brought to you by Silverline. Silverline is a Salesforce digital transformation consultancy headquartered in New York City, specializing in financial services, media and entertainment, and healthcare industries. I'm your host, JP Owens, Managing Director of Banking and Lending at Silverline, along with my co-host, Elliot Spence, Principal Consultant at Silverline. Hey, Elliot, how's it going?
Good, JP. How are you doing? Welcome back to the show. We just had an episode recorded without you. You abandoned me, but we're back here today on a what looks to be outside a beautiful Friday afternoon. But before we get into the weekend, it wouldn't be a full week without recording an episode. So we have a great guest with us today, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'm sorry I big-timed you and Evan last episode, but it was for good reason. I was hanging out with Brett at the nCino Insight Conference. So we got a new guest out of that that big timing. So it was well worth it.
Looking forward to it today. It's going to be great.
Yeah, like I mentioned, today we're joined by Brett Rutter. Brett is a VP of Salesforce Delivery at Farm Credit Services of America. Brett has been with Farm Credit Services of America for over 15 years and has been a key leader in their Salesforce and nCino transformation. Welcome, Brett. Can you take a moment and tell everybody about yourself and your current role?
You bet. Well, thanks for the opportunity to visit with you all and follow up on some great conversations last week at Insight Conference. At home, my role is husband and father. I'm a husband to my beautiful wife, Kelly, and father of four. At work, I'm VP of Salesforce Delivery, which includes our Salesforce platform. And so we have Financial Services Cloud and focus on both the sales and the service of your primary responsibilities for interacting with our customers. And then also nCino. So we inherited nCino about a year ago after implementation. And we've really enjoyed the opportunity to have those two platform-focused solutions on the same team. And I've really been enjoying getting deeper into the loan origination side of what we do with nCino while we continue to invest heavily in our Salesforce platform and expand our sales and service capabilities throughout the organization.
That's great. And I know you mentioned you inherited nCino, you've been on Salesforce for a little while, but before we talk technology, I'm not sure how much of our listeners are very familiar with the farm credit space. And the farm credit space has been pretty big on the Salesforce and nCino platform for a little while. So can you talk to us about how you got started with Farm Credit Services of America?
Yeah, you bet. I think in my journey to farm credit, I just stumbled into a gold mine. It's been a fantastic organization to be a part of. And obviously, a big part of why I've decided to spend, you know, over 15 years there now. I started in the consulting field straight out of college and really appreciated the opportunity to work on a variety of systems and meet with a lot of different customers, solve for business needs. But really found my home at Farm Credit, you know, 15 years ago. I started in a systems administrator role there, and so really focused on more on-premise and some of the Microsoft stack kind of capabilities. And then through a variety of role changes, was able to move into some more business focus applications and support of those and start to get some more exposure to the business side of farm credit. And then eventually was able to, through investment in a ton of the really great development opportunities that Farm Credit Service America provides, get into a leadership role back in 2019. And so in 2019, I began as interim leader. As we were just getting started on our recommendations that came out of our sales and service work groups that were really looking at our overall business processes and then the tooling in which we were using to support those business processes on the sales and service side. And so really just fortunate to land that opportunity to be able to help the organization with our implementation of Salesforce to serve both of those needs.
That's awesome. I enjoy hearing about how everyone got their first exposure into Salesforce and nCino. And you were talking about when you came in, you started in that administrator role. So talking about your first exposure within the Salesforce ecosystem, being in that administrator role, what did you do to like dive into the ecosystem, dive into Salesforce and really gain that foundation and that familiarity with, you know, everything? Because Salesforce is such a vast and robust platform. What did you do to really gain your first exposure to it and really gain your, you know, your comfort level there?
Yeah, great question there. So I think the system we were moving from, we had had for over two decades. And so had a lot of internal knowledge, but it didn't have the community that a platform like Salesforce does. So there's a lot of questioning of, I wonder how other organizations would solve for this challenge versus how we ended up doing it. And so really the first kind of exposure to that was through Trailhead and just realizing how valuable of a tool that can be for organizations that are brand new to the space and just trying to get, you know, some exposure to things. So we, as an organization, committed to some specific trail mixes that leadership put together, and then we kind of gamified it and got some really cool Trailblazer sweatshirts, you know, out of that as rewards for those that were completing those trail mixes. So that was, you know, kind of that base level, probably not that different from others that are, you know, just starting to get into the Salesforce ecosystem. We also did some efforts around generating internal interest that I participate in. We called Salesforce Socials. And so that really just was an opportunity for all of us that were in this learning journey to start to share some of the insights that we were, getting from the Trailhead and other training that we were doing, and just try and kind of continue that culture of, you know, continual development on the platform. So those were real successful early on to generate some more buzz and excitement around that. Then I went to Dreamforce in 2019, and that was just, you know, beyond anything else I'd attended in my career as far as conferences go. And I think with that conference, we were told ahead of time that you get out what you put in. And so I put in some long days and a lot of walking and learned a ton. Gained some really valuable connections there and had a really good opportunity with the crew that we sent from Farm Credit Service America to, you know, just kind of spread out and explore some different areas and come back and compare notes and just expand all of our learning together. And today I'm fortunate to have some team members at Farm Credit Service America. They're very active in the admin and dev user groups in the area. And so always try and make those a priority, and really appreciate that continual community, you know, giving back and looking to share wins and losses together so that we can all get better.
That's great. Yeah. And it's funny hearing you talk about that, because thinking back to my experience, I started in the same way. You know, I jumped in as a Salesforce analyst, grew to an admin, but like my growth was really propelled by Trailhead and the community. And, you know, now I'm a community group leader myself here in Cincinnati, because I think the community's done wonders for me and my growth. But even Trailhead, I mean, I jumped in and started doing as many trails as I could. And I remember thinking back to my first trip to Dreamforce, and it's exactly what you said. It's like, number one, you get like 50,000 steps a day. You get out of it what you put into it. So I was trying to get to as many sessions as I could, or with hands-on experience involved where I could build a flow, or back then build a workflow. And I mean, it just snowballed into what it is today. It's an awesome experience. So I love hearing how involved you are and your team is in the community and in Trailhead. But thinking back when your first Salesforce project, everyone's projects are always, you know, entirely different. You're trying to solve different problems. But what was that first project that you can think of? What were some of the problems that you were trying to solve at Farm Credit Services of America?
Yeah, you're right on. We, as much as I love the technology, we don't do it just for the sake of new technology, right? We're looking to solve some business needs there. And so the need for our organization was to acknowledge the success that we had as an organization to get to a certain point in 2019, but challenge ourselves to think about what would we need to move to that next level. And that really came down to our sales and service processes at the time. So I'd mentioned those work groups a little bit earlier. Those work groups were a combination of kind of thought leaders and in our organization and those that were in roles to be able to kind of set the standard for what we should be able to deliver as far as a business process to serve our customers. So we got that output and you know, some general ideas and some capabilities that we either, you know, didn't have defined real well in our current CRM, or, you know, there were some gaps. And so we looked to find a tool that would ultimately provide the flexibility we need to solve for those issues, and then also to grow with us as we continue to grow. And so ultimately we did a solution evaluation and chose Salesforce, thankfully. So then we started on a implementation and migration journey from a 20-year-old CRM to our financial services cloud org. So really learned a lot quickly in that process, working with an implementer at the time that, you know, really did a lot of discovery up ahead. But obviously, as we started the project, found out that we didn't have enough decisions made ahead of time. And so we were constantly kind of trying to think through what the platform provided as a solution, what our specific business needs were, and how we would best solve for it, whether that's using the core out-of-box functionality, extending the functionality with Flow or some other, you know, kind of low-code automation option, or, you know, going that custom route, which is, I'd say, the more painful route, but in some cases, very few cases, thankfully, that's the route we had to go to solve for the specific functionality we're looking to do. We intended to release in a phased approach, because so we really were committed to that more kind of project mentality of doing this initial MVP release and then move into a second. But some of the learnings during that initial project and challenges with setting timelines and being able to commit the discovery necessary to be confident in those timelines pushed our whole organization to move in some different directions around enterprise business agility. And so ultimately, not long after the go live of our Salesforce CRM, we entered into a journey internally for Scaled Agile Framework for Enterprise. So we kind of pulled back a little bit from that project-based mentality and instead have adopted more of a program focus. And that's how we've operated, you know, since go live in 2020. While we were all home, we went live with Salesforce and have maintained continual iterative investments and iterative growth in the platform since then. And at that time too, post-implementation is when our journey with Silverline started. So we're actually on our third year engaging with over a dozen absolutely incredible Silverline teammates to help us engage in that journey and drive that iterative value.
Yeah, I think the message around the organization having to pivot to the Agile is a really important one. Can you share a little bit more about some of those pressure points maybe that kind of made you all take a step back and say, hey, another project model might not be the right way to go? And what were some of those key things that made you shift to that more Agile approach?
Yes, you bet. You know, we as an organization, we are servants is one of the core principles of how we operate. And so we're excited when we see something that should get done to go and do it. And so we kind of just rush into that execution phase when we have that kind of project mentality. And one of the issues with that, one of the symptoms with that kind of rushing is, you know, you do some discovery and you get a timeline. It may not be the best. It may not be one that incorporates, you know, everything that you really need to have a real high level of confidence in that project timeline. But you're moving. You're at least doing something, right? And you feel good at least doing something. But then, you know, you kind of get towards the end of that initial block of time that you had made some commitments to, and you realize that things came up, you know, during that, and some tough decisions had to be made around priority and what makes it into that MVP and what doesn't. And we were, you know, just spinning a lot in, you know, making those decisions on whether we should pivot or persevere as, you know, a common kind of decision point we were making. And so we were looking at, you know, how much time we were spending in that kind of just either establishing or defending the timeline versus focusing on the highest value and finding out what the highest value was and getting it in front of us, getting the information we needed to have confidence in just that and getting it done. And so that's kind of the shift that we've made, you know, beyond Salesforce. And we learned that through nCino too. We really just have shifted that focus to setting roadmaps, right? So not timelines, roadmaps. So we can provide the business some awareness of when we'd like to be able to deliver this value, and then being able to commit in a shorter time frame after we've completed a little bit more discovery, know a little bit more about, you know, what we're looking to provide and have a higher level of confidence that we have everything we need to deliver that.
And when you think about the team and the process, I'm going to try to weave two questions into one here. So one, how has your team evolved as you've shifted to this model? And like, how big is the team? Maybe what are some of the skill sets on your direct team? And what are you doing to complement with the Silverline team? And two, as you look at the Farm Credit community overall, it feels like many of those or other organizations are also operating in a similar model. And how has that community helped maybe solidify this approach or help you all kind of collaborate on best practices as you've moved forward on the platform?
Yeah, great question. So I'd say the team has grown, right? And so we've really organized by value we're looking to provide. And so we have an agile team that is focused on the sales and service side and marketing. And then we have an agile team focused on our corporate lending team who utilizes nCino for loan origination. And so we've got some talented teammates across that. I only have a team of six, so three admins, three devs, and then two business analysts and a lead dev to support that team of six. So where Silverline has come in, they've doubled our capacity. And so we've got, another six in admin and dev roles. Actually, we've got a few more than that. So I think we're up to eight admins and devs working directly with us, and then other roles, expertise that we are getting through nCino, through some nCino architecture from Silverline, and then on the testing side and even on the DevOps side. So you can see we've kind of looked at, first establishing a partner. And so we moved away from a model where we kind of per project looked at the whole market and went with a specific vendor. And we've kind of established this longer term partner, and that's Silverline. And then we've been able to use that partnership to bring in, expertise in the specific areas that we're looking to invest in, whether that's DevOps, nCino, or whatever. Right now we are heavily supported by our Silverline partners. And I think when you talk about the rest of the Farm Credit system, I think that's a model that, organizations are considering right now is, how, especially in this challenges we've had with, hiring talent, maybe your needs aren't a, super long-term, full-time employee type of need. Maybe you need that expertise right now, potentially someone who's had exposure to, a specific capability or project, and you would augment that or solve for that need with the contract capabilities, whether that's implementation services or managed services like we're in. So we're seeing kind of that decision made across the organization or across the associations. We've always been a more conservative organization as well. And so we really want to demonstrate the need before we want to go ahead and commit ultimately our customers' money towards, bringing someone in to work on a specific platform. And so working with Silverline has allowed us to gain more information around long-term needs for these specific roles, identify where we want, those T-value skills, where do we want to go deeper in some certain areas. And then when we do decide to invest in those areas, we'll be much more informed than where we started. I started, hiring some incredible individuals. We were just a mighty team of four at the very beginning of this. We're probably not done growing yet, but right now we're just really appreciating the opportunity to partner with Silverline to solve for our expertise. Right.
So you'd mentioned earlier, you've inherited nCino, but how did FCS America launch the program on Salesforce and plan for nCino? Or is that something that you guys launched in parallel? Can you talk us through, planning for nCino and work on implementing that within Salesforce and, the strategy around that?
Yeah, you bet. I think, just like any organization going through some sort of digital transformation, I mean, you look at that timeline or roadmap and it's lengthy. And the last thing you want to do is hold other valuable investments hostage while you get this one thing done, right? And so we had that same, I'd say, challenge with the Salesforce and nCino projects. And we decided to offset them a little bit. And so we had Salesforce start a few months before the nCino effort. And so the intent was to go live with Salesforce and then a short time after that, go live with nCino for our MVP solution, which was a single business unit, which is our corporate lending. A lot of debate though around that, a lot of different opinions from different implementers around, how many challenges you're going to introduce with that. And I'd say we learned a lot. I mean, there's a lot of pros and cons. It's one of those pros that I kind of keep in mind is we were able to make more informed decisions on both the Salesforce side and the nCino side because we had the right teammates engaging in those thought exercises, just thinking through what do we want to use? Do we want to use the nCino product catalog or do we want to use the financial service cloud object for this, all of that? And so I think we ended up reducing rework because of that, or at least going into some of those decisions with a better understanding of the short-term payoffs versus the long-term, cost on things. Some of the cons though, and in one of the areas that we you know, were really challenges. You know, you're introducing a lot more change to your lower environments primarily. And so there was just a lot of churn going on, and we weren't real mature yet in our DevOps practices early on. We had inherited a kind of ad hoc process from our implementer, and we were brand new. We were a Microsoft shop prior to this, and this was our first exposure to Salesforce DevOps. And so we had a lot to learn through that. And so we had some pretty challenging merges later on in our journeys there after Salesforce went live to try and get to a single pipeline versus, you know, maintaining some in parallel for most, I'd say, of the Encino project that we're doing there. So, you know, I don't know if there's a right way or a wrong way. I think it's whatever you choose and make the most of it. And we ultimately ended up hitting really close to our expected timeline for Salesforce. And then Encino, we had some challenges to consider around our long-term plans for Encino that kind of held us up. But ultimately, we're able to go live with that MVP solution for our corporate lending teammates internally in a reasonable amount of time.
And I always love asking this question, and I feel like you've already hit on a couple of these pieces, but was there an aspect of either of those projects or implementations that you feel like you really underestimated or you wish you could have approached differently? You already kind of mentioned DevOps. We typically hear a lot about change management, like, and really understanding what that's going to be, but would love to get your take on, if you could go back, what's one thing you'd really change that would either make your life easier or kind of help set you up for success once you launched either of those big projects?
Yeah, DevOps is right off the bat. You're right on. I mean, it was just, there's some fantastic tools out there. We didn't complete any research before we began our implementation. So we were pretty heavily reliant on our implementer's perspective and opinions at the time on what they felt was best. And we ultimately pivoted away from that once we were done with the Salesforce implementation. But that is a significant opportunity for organizations considering, you know, or in an implementation, is to start thinking about the DevOps side of things. There's a ton of efficiencies with working on the platform, but there's also some challenges with that. So definitely invest, get some expertise in early for that.
Elliot, didn't we spend like a night or a weekend in the office when we learned how to do our first Encino deployment going, oh my God, what did we just sign up for? Because it was such a learning experience.
I thought that's when we migrated Sales Cloud to FSC, where we literally spent a whole weekend in the office.
Record-based config really snuck up on us.
Yeah, that was a long weekend. I'll never forget that. But, you know, thinking back, it was funny. And you learned a ton. That's when you, going through it, that's when you learn. I mean, you can read up on it and study up on it until you live it. That's where you're going to learn the most.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I'd say you mentioned change management too, JP. You're right on. And I think we did a fantastic job, especially with the challenges of COVID, the pandemic, that we went live in, focusing on change management. We really developed an interest and a passion for what we were doing, and a good audience following along in our transparent execution of the project and, you know, eventual go live. I think where we're wanting to grow now is more of that continued reinforcement and adoption focus. And I think that's where we have some opportunities internally, you know, rather than kind of saying, okay, that project's done, on to the next thing. To really look at, are we getting the most out of our investment here? And if we're creating some really cool functionality, do sales teammates see it the same way? You know, are they getting the satisfaction that we get when we deploy something like that? I think that's, you know, where we're focusing right now. And so I think something we could have done, you know, earlier on is just setting up that cadence of continual reinforcement, starting some of those practices, and really just staying committed to that. That's the other thing I think of when you ask about, you know, what we underestimated. I'd say that desire to deliver business values, but maintain some principles. And so some of those principles that we did state was, hey, we weren't going to step back, right? We were going to continually provide incremental value. We weren't willing to sacrifice functionality, introduce a lot of rework, you know, manual steps where we had already automated things. But one of the areas that, you know, I listened to KeyBank talk about their journey last year at Insight. One of their principles they talked about was out of box and using out of box functionality. And I think that's something that I think we could have spent more time thinking about for both the Salesforce and the Encino deployments around you know, ensuring that even as you're looking to provide solutions for the business, understand that long-term cost of doing something that's either extended or custom, primarily custom, and what that potentially could lock you out of as far as future benefit on things. So I think that's something that we've become more mature on internally. And as we're especially focusing on our nCino system this year, you know, that's one of the principles we're keeping in mind, really, of just making sure that we're getting the most out of our licensing.
You're hitting on a lot of points that I love to dive into and I'm passionate about with, you know, DevOps, and you were highlighting earlier change management. And that's one of the things that, you know, I, you know, harp on it a lot in my projects, where I can build a lot of really cool stuff, really flashy stuff, but if nobody uses it, it's junk. So you got to build it in a way that your end users really see what's in it for them, and they're going to use it, and they're going to be excited about it, just as excited as I will. So that's something that I'm always, like I said, harping on, but sometimes it may get annoying because I always ask for like, let's revisit this, because I want to make sure I capture every detail to make sure what I'm doing is going to fit what the end user needs. But you know, going back to your team, the tools you've used, and that, you know, how's the team, the tools, and the strategy you use changed over the years as you've grown with Salesforce and nCino? And what is some of the advice you would give to our listeners that are really starting to jump into Salesforce and nCino for the first time, and how they should manage their DevOps practice for, you know, a complex program?
Yeah, so that, I mean, we are really proud of what we've made so far, but also acknowledge we've got a lot to learn in that area. And so the two things that I kind of think of is, you know, where we are now compared to where we were is light years ahead. We've got a pretty robust process that allows multiple teammates to submit their changes and get those tests run and get things into the pipeline for our business side and our testers to validate. But it's still kind of big bang, right? It's still once it's in the pipeline, it's on its way to prod. And that's been a kind of significant difference between our .NET side of the technology shop versus Salesforce. And so it's not always a bad thing. You know, sometimes it's that's once you commit it, it's going, right? And so we're really committed to ensuring that we get that thing feature fully delivered. But it does introduce some challenges we've had. And so the other thing I'd say, what we're doing now is we're investing in expertise. And so we've done that internally, and we've actually established some DevOps engineer roles to really allow them, rather than being a side project or duties as assigned for a dev or an admin, you know, it's their focus. And so they get really excited about the wins and the progress we're making and maintaining a really stable environment and then making it efficient. And right now we're undergoing a DevOps solution evaluation. And now we've got these two teammates internally here that are leading that effort and really focused on, you know, the core capabilities that we want to see with that pipeline. The other thing we did is we brought in an expert, right? And so we've consulted with Silverline, and we've had an investment there where we've had someone come in and share some insights. You know, they've looked at our process, gave us some feedback about how things were going, acknowledged some areas where we've maybe created some automation and have a win, but introduced something more to support, you know, for us. And so helping us to better challenge areas where, you know, we really should be looking for a third-party solution versus something we created or you know, go in a different direction on things. They've also helped us to understand, you know, this utopia that, you know, Salesforce talks about with their DevOps center and with unlocked packages and all of that. What makes sense for us and what doesn't right now, and what should we keep our eye out for? So rather than investing a ton of time, you know, demoing things, trialing things, just to be able to get that kind of quicker access to expertise has been a valuable thing for our team as well. We've also, you know, when I think of solutions, we implemented a very base backup solution early on, but since then we have invested in that area. And so we are proud on backup customers now. And so we've really enjoyed the added efficiencies that tool gives, both in data seeding and our backup capabilities. And we're looking at some additional offerings with them. So really kind of moving from that single solution to more of that platform solution type of thing Where, hey, what can we do for the, what can we get out of it for the core capabilities, but where else can this thing provide some value and really maximize our use of that tool?
I've never actually used Own Backup. I knew nothing about it at all.
Biggest Own Backup fan in the world right there, Elliot.
Yeah, we had a hiccup with in our old roles years ago where it came in super handy, and I will always talk about how great it was because it took something that would have taken us, not joking, a weekend's worth of work. Like another one of those deployment like weekends where it's 24/7 work, and we had it solved in like 2 hours. It was awesome. That was my first time actually, like since we started using it, where I'm like, let's see if this actually works. And it did wonders.
That's awesome. Glad to hear that.
Well, and Brett, something you've talked about throughout this episode is showing value to your users and talking about the change management, making sure they're understanding that a lot of the features that they're getting and what that's going to drive from a benefit perspective, especially as you've been interacting with the business. And we're always challenged, I think now more than ever, when we talk to our whole portfolio of clients is, What have you been able to achieve on the platform? And sometimes that's really hard to measure and articulate, especially if you didn't have benchmarks to start with, because you had to jump in and solve an issue immediately. But how have you and your team helped the organization document and really understand the value you're getting out of the platform, your team members, and some of the releases you're driving to the business? And whether it's metrics or maybe it's like release notes or feature documentation, like what are you doing to kind of highlight the use case and the problem you're solving and like the value the overall organization's achieving on the platform?
Yeah, great question. And I think, you know, we always have an opportunity to improve in this area, but I am proud of it as I think through some of the things that we've had success in. So early on in our implementation, we instituted a Salesforce governance team, which was a pretty diverse group of business leaders working with a product owner and myself to really make sure that we had consensus on what the most valuable next steps were, and that we were able to, you know, spend the right amount of time on those things to continue to drive value. As we moved away from that kind of more project focused approach, and you know, at the time we really focused on this phase two, this extending the MVP effort. When we moved into that agile process with Safe, we actually, you know, kind of decommissioned that governance group and just relied on our more mature product management practices there. So we've got product managers and product owners working, you know, directly with the Agile team. So I get to work with them every single day, right? And be able to hear the results of discovery and uncover some opportunities for us to continue to drive value. Or if we miss the mark on something, you know, understand how we can make some changes to get the intended result out of it. And then also for us to provide feedback, right? And I think that's the thing with Salesforce is, it's a platform that it's not like your traditional kind of product management where you're just trying to learn what the needs are and then you come up with a solution. Like there's good functionality, there's good capabilities that some other organization, you know, thought up years ago, and now we get to benefit from it. So, you know, exposing that to our product teammates and to our business teammates to make sure that they are aware of some of the great capabilities like Einstein, like, you know, pipeline efforts, like forecasting, you know, all the great things that you get with your financial services cloud. I think that's the other thing of having those product teammates working directly with us. We're able to share those things. Our focus of our Safe journey is really to execute with transparency. And so we've standardized internally the way that we plan and execute on our work. And so that's allowed for, you know, more individuals to be able to quickly understand what we see as the highest priorities and what our progress is on executing on those. And one thing that we started really early is we put our release notes in Chatter. It's been kind of fun to see those that are consuming those regularly and the good conversations that pop up out of that. And so I think just, you know, creating that channel for primarily our product teammates to share the results of what we're creating for them, and then to get feedback on things through Chatter has been helpful as well. That kind of in context conversation is really valuable for our team. One last thing we did is we had multiple ways to get work to a technology team, right? And we've tried to kind of be more purposeful in creating those channels. And one of those things we've done is centralize that. And so we have a primary way for business teammates that have some great idea or see an opportunity to submit work And then that creates an artifact, you know, around that request. So if we decide, yep, this is definitely something we can achieve. We see the value in this. Thanks for, you know, the great idea. They can see that thing move from idea all the way through to execution. And we've got that artifact to share and help tell our story as well.
Really love hearing about you putting the release notes in Chatter. Back when I started as an admin, that's something that, not exactly the release notes, but like we had like a Salesforce success stories Chatter group and a group around like training, which is I would create what's called like quick hit training videos, which is a quick like 3 to 5 minute video around like how do I edit an opportunity, how do I input a referral, so you know people can try to self service, and if they need a reminder of how to do certain things or if they're a new user, they can find the videos and the like release guides, user guides, all within Chatter and collaborate that way. So that's an awesome shout out that you did there around, you know, putting the release notes out there. I love it. One final question, and probably the most difficult one you're going to be asked yet. And if you've listened to the podcast in the past, you know what we're going to ask about, but we always like to ask our guests about some, you know, funny story or a special talent or something not a lot of people may know about you. So is there any kind of accomplishment or unbelievable story like playing football or intercepting a Super Bowl winning quarterback like JP, anything that you want our guests to know about you?
I got to tell you, I listened to the marketing episode you had a couple ago with Tanner, and I'm feeling pretty small in my accomplishments next to him. He's a very interesting guy, it sounds like. So unfortunately, I won't be able to reach that level of excitement.
I think Tanner might have been lying, but I don't know. Maybe.
Got it.
He's not here to defend himself, so I'm going to say he did.
Well, he's marketer focused, right? That probably wouldn't be too surprising.
Put a good spin on it.
Yeah. So I guess a kind of unique family. I'm a twin. So I have a twin brother, and my older brother is adopted, and he's Korean. So growing up, just had the three boys, but obviously kind of unique opportunities because of the makeup of all of us. But I'd say the most interesting thing that others wouldn't know about me is I grew up in a small town in Western Nebraska. And at the time, we still had rural schools, so country schools going. And so my entire school, we had 30 people in the school. And my class had 6 people. We're the largest class in the entire school. So we were pretty impressive at 6 people. So I've made it from very humble beginnings in a country school all the way to VP of Salesforce. So shoot high.
How did your school handle sports? What sports were you able to do with such a small group, or was it a shared community of combining the power of your 6 people in your classes across the tri-state area?
Yeah, good question. So we had field days in which we would compete with other country schools in some absolutely incredible athletic achievements. But to do your more organized sports, you had to go to town for that. So kudos to my parents for their willingness to come out about 20 some miles from town to pick us up and bring us into town just for a sport practice or something else, and then go home after that. So that's quite a commitment for the couple of years that we were doing that. And then high school obviously was in town, so we were able to just take advantage of the opportunities like everyone else, which for me, you know, and having a school permit, that meant I was driving on my own at 14 years old, which is, as a parent of a 16-year-old, I can't imagine having her drive on her own a couple of years ago. So must have meant I was just really mature for my age.
Or there were no other options. So.
Or there were no other options. Probably more it. Yep.
I think we need to like revisit all of our past guests on like maybe like episode like 50 and just do a rundown of the unique stories, unique talents. And like
I want to check up on some of them and find out if they're true. Actually,
I thought Elliot was
going to bring up his Dreamforce event with his karaokeing until 5 o'clock in the morning. That's his big thing to do at Dreamforce. So 2023, look out.
I just find a karaoke and I just karaoke with people I don't know till the wee hours of the morning. Or, you know, our past guest, Tony Stegman, who wrestles alligators. I mean, there's pictures of that, so we can verify it.
Well, sorry, I'm not able to compete at that level. That's for sure. I have ran the Chicago Marathon. That was the other thing I was thinking of, but it's not nearly as impressive as my country school humble beginnings.
I just did my first marathon. I've looked at Chicago. I want to do the Chicago Marathon. It looks awesome.
Good for you. Congratulations on completing your first. You're going to be hooked now. And it's one to do. It's quite an experience. I'm not sure I'd ever do it again. It's just, it's a lot of people in one area, but it was sure incredible. Quite an admirer.
Well, thank you for joining the show today, Brett. Really appreciate you taking the time and telling the story, not just about your personal growth on the platform, but also what Farm Credit Services of America has been doing. So really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate the partnership and looking forward to continuing to bring some really great value and learning together on this platform.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. To learn more about Silverline, you can subscribe to the Silverline blog at silverlinecrm.com or follow on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook at SilverlineCRM. One word.